Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world on kpfk.org. My name is Tammy Bang-Lu, and I'm here with my co-host, Manuel Criollo. We're going to start the hour with longtime Southwest organizer Ruben Solis, coordinator of the Sin Fronteras Project at the Southwest Workers Union, to talk about their organizing work to stop the passage of CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, and the Free Trade Agreement of America, the FTAA. Then we're going to go to Uruguay, where we'll have Raul Zabecki, professor of social movements at the Multiversidad Franciscana de America Latina, on the contradictions, pitfalls, and opportunities for Latin Americans' popular movements as they're gaining influence in the official political arena. We'll close the hour with Mayor Tadatoshi Akiba of Hiroshima, Japan, on the campaign to eliminate the nuclear threat. To continue our tribute to Corky Gonzalez, we'll be right back with a poem by Joe Novato from Hollister, California. All this and more, we'll be right back.
Corky had a vision before most of us could see. He took off the rosy red colored glasses that they gave him in school. His eyesight was 20/20 now, not for what was obviously evident, nor what was shown. Ese vato sabía mucho, vio la verdad. He saw the ugliness underneath the facade. He discovered the myth of the two-party system, being a two-headed hydra joined at the base of the neck. He found that Chicanas and Chicanos were meat for the political machine, were cannon fodder for the gringos' imperialist wars. He excavated our history from the depths of colonial lies. He exposed the naked face of oppression. Nuestro carnal, Corky, questioned history and challenged the future. He saw the bare truth of imperialism and showed it to the world. Sabía que la gente chicana tiene un lugar especial en el mundo. He knew that we weren't naturally born as farm workers, laborers, maids, dishwashers, and second-class citizens. He found out that we were descendants of great civilizations, y que somos herederos de las tradiciones de la gente que estaba aquí desde principio del tiempo. We didn't come to America. America came to us, he boldly declared to the closed world, trying to pry it open, flinging social paradigms like arrows into the belly of the mightiest beast on earth from the inside, talking about imperialism, capitalism, exploitation, and oppression, and the most frightening concept of all, self-determination, inspiring an entire generation to imagine a Chicana, Chicano nation, redefining the foreigners, inciting the largest tribe in this hemisphere to rise up and demand its land. From boxer to philosopher of liberation, nuestro carnal Corky was like an alarm clock, crowing the gritos of la revolución en la lucha para la liberación de Aztlán. High from the Rockies, las cordilleras de las Américas, he declared to the four directions que yo soy Joaquín, an allusion to a rebel contra los expansionistas, un guerrero que luchó por la justicia, porque él también sufrió bajo de la mano de la injusticia yanqui. Yo soy Joaquín was a declaration for justice, a cry for freedom, a recognition of la raza, la gente indígena de Aztlán. Nuestro carnal Corky knew that he had to organize a crusade for justice, movilizar la gente para luchar por la dignidad, por la humanidad, por la igualdad, y por una mejor sociedad. Nuestro carnal became the impetus for el plan espiritual de Aztlán, mobilizing minds, spirits, and bodies. Theory, action, social change. La raza unida. Nuestro carnal Corky knew.
Welcome back. This is Manuel Criollo. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. This is your show at 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, so every time you got to tell your bosses to, take some hours off because you got to listen to voices. Up next, we have Ruben Solis. He's an organizer with the Southwest Workers Union, the coordinator of the Sin Fronteras Project with the SWU out in San Antonio, Texas. And we have him on the show to talk to us about their fight against the Central American Free Trade Agreement in San Antonio as this discussion for the opening of CAFTA goes into Congress. And one particular fight that's happening in San Antonio is the internal fights inside oppressed nationality communities, where we have our own Congress folks who are voting in favor of CAFTA and free trade agreements in general, without talking about both the repercussions that are at home, but more importantly, the repercussions abroad. So welcome to the show, Ruben.
Gracias, Manuel.
Well, Ruben, why don't you start off, here on KPFK, a lot of folks get a chance to hear a lot about CAFTA and why people should be against it. So why don't you give us your best shot of a two-minute version of it, both that tries to incorporate what I agree mostly with you is about the impact it has both on third world countries, but more importantly, also the impact it has in particular of oppressed nationalities like Chicanos and Mexicanos and people of color throughout the Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Manuel, for inviting me and for letting me share some of this work that we're doing here. But I think that one of the first things is that 11 years of experience under the North American Free Trade Agreement, that is one of the bases of which we base our opposition to the Central American Free Trade Agreement, because we feel that it's an expansion of the worst aspects of the North American Free Trade Agreement, not the best aspects of which we haven't found very many, other than people from both sides of the border working together in terms of social struggle. But most often the other has been the fact that it's being portrayed, the Central American Free Trade Agreement is being portrayed as good for Latinos, which is just propaganda, that is not based on any facts. It's based on basically the people that are supporting CAFTA and promoting it here in the U.S., and they're using that, let's say, our nationalism or the fact the identity as Latinos, to get us to that is going to be good.
Well, Ruben, let's talk about, why don't you give us, for folks here in Los Angeles, why don't you break us down what San Antonio and what has happened to San Antonio since the signing of NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, where in many ways San Antonio has become the center of free trade and the poster child for free trade. Why don't you give us the other version than what maybe somebody like Henry Cisneros would tell us?
Yes. Incidentally, Henry Cisneros was one of the key supporters of the North American Free Trade Agreement. At that time, they were saying that we would have a win-win situation as Latinos, whether NAFTA passed or not. Now, in reality, what we've seen is, if I can give you some examples concretely, is that San Antonio lost most of its manufacturing jobs, to the North American Free Trade Agreement. San Antonio has become more of a service industry city, and low-paying wages at that, as is the U.S.-Mexico border. So when we look at the fact that every year since NAFTA became into effect in 1994, we've had over 500 people a year that die crossing the border. The fact that the Mexican currency was devalued in half, in 50% in 1994, and the fact that after 11 years of NAFTA, we have, an insurmountable amount of violence on the border that is usually attributed to the narco wars, but it's really all of the combined effects of, neoliberal globalization as we know it. These are some of the social problems that we have, as is the environmental problems associated with the fact that the Rio Grande River, that was one of the promises under NAFTA that they would clean it up, has become a viral cesspool today, So when we look at the health problems on the U.S.-Mexico border, including San Antonio, the fact that the first 2 to 3 years of the North American Free Trade Agreement produced some 24 billionaires, but it also produced a whole sector of of poor working people. So we have seen in practice the kinds of problems that have been brought about by the North American Free Trade Agreement. Here in Texas in particular, when George Bush was governor, he supported the North American Free Trade Agreement. And what we have today is a result of putting all that public money for highways, for NAFTA, and for industry, and for tax abatements, we've ended up with a $10 billion deficit in Texas, as have all of the border states on either side of the U.S.-Mexico border. So who has benefited from NAFTA and who has paid the price is what we are telling brothers and sisters in Costa Rica and El Salvador and Honduras and Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, because we have seen the net results of the North American Free Trade Agreement and the fact that it lowers wages, it privatizes health care, privatizes education, privatizes water systems, privatizes public services, pensions, Social Security, so all of those things, when we look at the fact that already Nicaragua is one of the poorest countries in Central America as are the other countries, how are these countries going to benefit? The only ones that are going to benefit are the companies and the politicians that are crafting their careers on the backs of poor working people, as in this case, Henry Cuellar, congressman from San Antonio, in fact, that has his office down the street. He's one of the head Democratic congressmen that's crossed over holding hands with President Bush, saying how good the CAFTA is going to be, which is all, it's going to be good for the rich. It's going to be good for the oil companies and for the Walmarts, but it's going to be a disaster for the working poor and working people, and intellectuals, art, culture. It's devastating. Mm-hmm. And this is just a foothold, because what really the intent is the free trade areas of the Americas. And because they cannot get Congress to support such a, sort of a continental-wide agreement, then they're crafting it in sections.
Ruben, this is Tammy, the co-host here. How are you doing?
Thank you.
The other time you had stated that the sum total of the strategy is to get the free trade agreement signed regionally because, like you said, they can't get wide support for the FTAA. So why don't you take us inside your campaign? And you talked a little bit about the Democratic one of the Democratic representatives that you guys are trying to pressure. But take us into your campaign to talk about the kind of splits that you're creating to try to influence the vote.
Well, one of the things that we're doing is that we're trying to develop a grassroots global justice campaign that is representative of more working class people of color organizations and movements. Not that we're against other sectors from organized labor or from think tanks in Washington and political groups that are against CAFTA. We're, aligning with them in a broad base, but in particular, we want the grassroots to have a voice in this battle, and to show that the fact that Cuellar is here in San Antonio is about developing his career at the cost of his constituency and the community here that is basically has jobs that pay $10,000 a year in public schools as cafeteria workers, and we're fighting for a living wage, and the living wage is something that these neoliberal programs like CAFTA and NAFTA are not going to support, but it also lowers the wages here so that they're continuously sort of developing legislation to erode the gains that we have made. No, one of the things that we did, because Cuellar is the point person and has his headquarters down the street from our offices, we've been picketing his office every Wednesday for the last month in this April, which was the global justice Action Month. And in fact, we have made it clear that if, you know, and he's selling out, he's a vendido, and we want him to pay the cost for selling out if he's going to do it on the back of his constituency. So we're calling his office here in San Antonio. We're writing letters, getting local both teachers and community workers and school workers and local business people to sign on to a letter that we're going to present to him, because he presented a letter to us with all this big business supporters, which is exactly why we're protesting and denouncing him, to send a message as well. The other thing that we're doing is that we're going to be also putting pressure, public pressure, on Congressman Gonzalez and Congressman Ortiz, who are key Democratic congressmen from Texas that sort of are on the wire right now, sort of leaning. They could go either way. So those are the three people that we're looking at, making sure that local folks begin to make calls, that we empower local communities to understand that these people have power to vote, and that we must challenge that power, either in this particular vote or in terms of their own election come their re-election. No? So that's part of the combined strategy. We're also going to be hosting a national meeting of grassroots global justice organizations from across the United States. And, in fact, because San Antonio has been deemed as the NAFTA city, with the NAD Bank being situated here. So one of the things that we're going to do is launch a national campaign from the grassroots level, from here to San Antonio, actually at the same place where George Bush, old man George Bush, and Salinas de Gortari signed the North American Free Trade Agreement.
We've been talking to Ruben Solis, coordinator of the Sin Fronteras project at the Southwest Workers Union. Well, you know, Ruben, I mean, too bad we got to cut in about a minute. And, I mean, I guess the basic thing that I think that's really important about what you're saying is that right now a lot of Latino politicians are going to go into the Latino community and try to win this debate. And we got to have battles of ideas, basically, in our own communities, because, you know, if anybody's had a chance to read anything but Mexican 10 years ago, this is what they did here in Los Angeles, where many of the elected officials were able to win the debate. And I think it's going to be the role of conscious Mexicano and Chicano and Latino community organizations to be at the forefront of this fight, and primarily to talk about our responsibility to our brothers and sisters in South America and Latin America, because they're going to be the field of grunt. I mean, you could have a situation where workers are going to get higher wages because in the service sector, because, you know, there's going to be more jobs here in certain parts of our community. So it's a little bit of a slippery slope of how we begin to address this, because we need to address it as a major blow that we need to deliver against U.S. imperialism. And I think that's why we should oppose CAFTA and other free trade agreements that the United States is trying to push forward. So why don't you give us the information, how to get in contact of you and your phone number.
Okay, you can reach me at area code 210-222-1704.
And do you have a website?
And you can reach me by email at grulla@igc.org.
Can you repeat that again, Ruben?
grulla@igc.org.
And your website?
And that's our website is www.southwestunion.org.
Thank you, Ruben Solis.
Let me just say if we
Ruben, we gotta maybe continue this conversation another time. But I'm asking.
I was gonna mention the Minutemen. That's what we're facing.
Right.
Just think of that.
All right, bro. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Raul Sebeki, a professor at Uruguay, and who will talk to us about the dilemmas and contradictions that social movements in Latin America are facing with the rise of the new left-center governments. Yeah.
pierda chi quedó demostrado, la minoría que lo adversa. Trataron de derrocarlo y el pueblo salió a la calle hasta la vida arriesgando para que usted no se fuera de su tierra derrotada.